I'm going to talk about a koan that I've talked about before, but I think it has more relevance because of some of the work that's being done by neuroscientists, and I wanted to see if we can find the traces in Buddha Dharma that will clarify for them the work that they're doing. See, I once said that modern science, quantum physics, see, would never prove Buddha Dharma, but Buddha Dharma might validate their work. And I think we're reaching that point. And of course, one of the references I'm going to, well, that's why I was hoping Ishan was here. I'm quite certain by now he has it by memory, the book Biocentrism. It's a wonderful book to start to shake up the paradigm that we're rigidly fixated here in the West with the classical approach to physics, which completely denies and has very little to do with consciousness. When Domon was in the class of physics, they simply said that it wasn't particularly relevant. Now, you may find that interesting, that your consciousness, your awareness, is not relevant to the scientists, but it's damned relevant to you. See, if you don't have that, you're not here, and I'm not talking to you. See, it's the only thing that is relevant. And for some reason, I heard this very early in life. And when I was first presented with sort of the rigid, inflexible clockwork universe, see, that didn't acknowledge what it was that sat there and understood and knew, it seemed to me that they always were starting on the wrong foot or beginning to ask the wrong questions. And you know, if you ask the wrong question, you're going to get the wrong answer. The only thing that has relevance and the only thing that you have direct experience over is the fact that you're sitting there aware right now. See, and in that, there is this most amazing thing. See, that in the center of where you are, in the great Hongzhi and cultivating the empty field. That's what he'll say. Find the center of the empty field. See, and settle there. What he's talking about is a state of samadhi. See, and again, samadhi, I say this over and over again because usually when there's new people, I like to at least clarify some of these terms, these words that we use. Like contemporary professions, particularly in the West, you know, we use words and titles to confuse you, to make you think that we're doing more important things. And it's an interesting thing. My friend, who is a PhD algebraic topologist from Stanford, his wife was telling me that it was used to be really a frustrating thing for her that when she'd walk around, people would come up to her there in the academic society and they would ask about, well, what is your husband working on? And then she would try to explain what it was that he was doing. And she said they could go on in hours and hours about all of the things they knew about this. So what she did was she just memorized the title of his dissertation. And when they'd ask, she said she'd just lay that out, and she said, you got this deadly silence. I said, oh, that's wonderful. And then they'd walk on. So the same thing with Buddha Dharma. Let me again clarify. See, Buddha simply means awake. Dharma means the infinite things. It can be teacher, but if you see the infinite things as the teaching, see, so Buddha Dharma simply means that everything is awake. And I talk about samadhi, cultivate samadhi. What is samadhi? Samadhi is simply a state of non-distracted awareness. You can experience it right now. See, just sit quietly. Just sit quietly. Don't think about sitting quietly. Just sit here quietly, hear my voice. Now you're in samadhi. Now, samadhi, there's depth to samadhi. This is at a very superficial level. But this is simply what you hold on to. See, this is what we cultivate when we sit like this. And the fact of the matter is, most of you will actually believe that you can do it through the conceptual mind. You can't. See, we have people here who sit maybe 15 minutes a week, or they'll drop by for the most important part of it, which is my talk. See, I'm always stunned to see the people who can show up for the talk, but they can't show up for service or sitting. See, and they think the talk, because they get lost in the words. See, they get lost in the words. See, I think that that's even true of all of the most of the work. I think even this book on biocentrism that I appreciate. See, most people just see words. And so you can get lost in it, and then you add words to it, and add words to it, and add words to it, and there you are in the crazy discriminating consciousness, which produces samsara. Or as the old Zen masters will say, see, if you don't see the way, you produce your own heaven and hell. And that's absolutely true. See, and that's one of the wonderful things in that book. See, if you're in a state of samadhi, though, for starting here, see, non-distracted awareness, that's samadhi. And that's what we try to cultivate. See, and we cultivate it by practice. Some of you have had your introductory instructions. We cultivate it by counting the breath. See, and we try to allow the mind to settle. We try to keep our focus in the hara. And it's a very simple thing. See, I always exhale, I count on my exhalation. It's the simplest for me. But you should count in a way that is natural for you, your natural breathing. You bring your mind to focus on it. See, for me, it's simply, and then you relax, naturally allow the inhalation to come, and you sustain the count. My mind's eye is here, see, focused in the hara. See, there's no thinking going on. I'm simply watching. Mind isn't jumping up and down. See, it's focused here in the hara, watching the inhalation, exhalation. We count from 1 to 10 over and over again. See, until you can count consistently. See, throughout full sitting periods. See, this is called right discipline at this point. See, and see if you can do it. See, and I've often challenged some of the seniors here after they become professionals in Zazen. See, and they're working in advanced koan practice to go back and count your breath. And lo and behold, what they find out most of is they can't count their breath again from 1 to 10. They've allowed the mind to slip into the discursive thinking. See, that's one of the downsides to koan practice. It does activate the intellect, but we can compensate for that. We can bring that back. And if you actually try to work on koans the way you're supposed to work on koans, you actually deepen the samadhi. So you become one with the koan. So we cultivate this, and we use the numbers because it gives us something to think about. One, I can see that. Two, once you can do that, and you can do it consistently, you don't deceive yourself, see, then you drop the numbers so that you're simply following the breath. If the mind runs off, you bring it back. But if you're sitting here just observing the breathing, now, I'm in a state of samadhi, non-distracted awareness. See, you're not bored, you're not anxious, you're not watching the time. See? It becomes quite beautiful. And you can forget the self in the breathing. Or my teacher would tell me, allow your breathing to breathe you. It's quite a remarkable experience. But you have to actually practice. You have to work at it. And depending upon how you commit yourself, see, sometimes results come quicker. Sometimes it takes longer. See, depending upon how deeply we're attached to the crazy ruminating mind. See, and this mind, See, to sit in a state of samadhi, if you can see even with that little demonstration there, when I'm actually releasing, I am in a state of samadhi. I'm no longer up here thinking in my head. I'm not ruminating in my head. I am not judging. See? And then I simply look out here. See? And don't, see, conceptualize this. Don't go into the rumination. Don't think, oh, now I'm doing what he's saying. No. Become like a mirror. They call it mirror samadhi. See? Just as it is. See, a mirror doesn't judge what reflects. See, but again, don't push that metaphor too far, because a mirror, see, is very flat. It's not dimensional. And this Buddha mind, see, is infinite in its wonder. See, so as I'm breathing and just this, then, see, I'm no longer attending to the discriminating consciousness in my head. Now I'm entering into a state of samadhi. And the deeper I go into that, see, the more amazing, see, the transformation that takes place in my life. Buddhism is the perfection of the personality, see. And the personality, that people can argue with it and say, oh, well, that's egocentric. We don't, whatever you want to say, see. It brings you around from a deluded sentient being who lives in the 10 grave precepts of stealing, lying, cheating, greed, see. Into this most amazing place, each and every one of you, see, is the center of a Buddha field. And when you can free yourself from your discriminating consciousness, see, then you become an actualized bodhisattva. That can be done. See, over the history of time, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people who have actualized this. See, but now this state, see, where you're not thinking. See, just the breathing. Now you go very quiet, very still. See? See, you're not shutting down. See, you're not going into a blank space. See, you're sitting here very still and very focused. Now, in the book of biocentricity, what you're looking out into here, see, what you're looking out into here, see, that's how you're still experiencing it, most of you, see, as I'm seeing out there. What did he tell you? You're looking in your mind. You're looking into your own mind. It can't be any other way. See, you're looking into your own mind. See? And it's an amazing kind of thing. And see, your perception is what you're looking at. And your perception is shaped by the conditioned aspects in the personality of whoever you are. And he will point out from a scientific perspective that your perception is the only reality you'll ever know. See? But let's see what Buddha Dharma. I've talked on this koan before. I think you already have it, so you can throw this tape away, see? Dubai once asked Basso, "What is Buddha?" Basso answered, "Mind is Buddha." Mind. Mind. What mind? Not what you're thinking. Not that mind. That's the delusional, the little mind. See, drop that. Mind is Buddha. See, what you're looking into. What you see. What you hear. What you feel. This is your mind. What is Buddha? The great Basso, one of the greatest Zen teachers, says, "Mind is Buddha." See, then Mumon's commentary on this, he said, if you can see it at once, grasp it. See, can you see it? Or have you gone back into your thinking? Some of you are just thinking and talking to yourself right now, so you won't even see this. But he said, if you can grasp it at once, see, not a trace of a thought comes up, and you're not suppressing the thought, you are in a state of awareness, non-distracted awareness. See? Then he said, if you can grasp this at once, he said, you're wearing Buddha clothes, you're eating Buddha food, you're speaking Buddha words, and living Buddha life. You are Buddha yourself. Buddha, Asian God? No, 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 no. That's not what Buddha is. That you are this awake, most amazing thing. You are Buddha. You are this pure state of awareness. Don't now conceptualize it. See, if you don't wake up right where you are, you will live in a hell realm. It's called samsara. See, and you will continue to experience pain and suffering. And this is what Buddha taught when he looked deeply into the life situation that he found himself exposed to. And what did he say? Life is suffering. See, and we rebel against that. But life is suffering. I was just this week talking with Kyoji, see, and she works on an oncology, as they call it, an oncology ward. You know, see, you want sickness and death and wonderful people that she watches, see, and she's weeping, see, her job. But her job as a priest, see, she, this is right livelihood, but sometimes it hammers her, see. Then Haiti comes, see. And you look at the pain and the suffering, wherever it's at, and if you're young and healthy and you think you've escaped it, you've only temporarily escaped it, because the best you can hope from this plane of existence, the best you can hope, see, if you become monumentally successful, big house on the hill, all of the beautiful people you want around you, you know what your reward is going to be? Old age, sickness, and death. That's the best. You're a winner. See? Be a better way, see? And so the path was laid down. And don't think of this. This isn't some kind of a rigid religion filled with intolerance, see? It's totally fluid, see? And it's applicable to each and every one of us, see? Where you sit is potentially a Buddha field, if you realize it. If you see it as you do it, what the old Mumon says, if you grasp it directly, see, you're wearing Buddha clothes, eating Buddha food, speaking Buddha words, and living Buddha life. You are Buddha. You are now the center, see, of a Buddha field.